RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you first our news, followed by news from across the country, Today in History, Highlight of the Week, Week in Review, and News in Brief. We'll continue our program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present you to you our daily segment, Listener's Mailbag. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with the news. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo begins working visit to South Korea. The State Palace bans sweeping of leftist books. FIFA lifts suspension on Indonesia. Now the news in detail. In a bid to boost economic ties between Indonesia and South Korea, President Joko Widodo on Sunday left for Seoul, South Korea for a state visit until May the 18th. As quoted from Antara News, President Joko Widodo, who was accompanied by Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs Darmin Nasution and Trade Minister Thomas Lembong, Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi, and Head of the Investment Coordinating Board Frankie Sibarani, are already in Seoul ahead of the President's departure. In South Korea, President Joko Widodo is scheduled to meet Indonesian community at the Indonesian Embassy in Seoul on Sunday evening. On Monday, the President and South Korean President Park Geun-hye are slated to hold bilateral talks on political, economic, and socio-cultural issues. For the record, South Korea is the fifth biggest investor in Indonesia, with total investment reaching $1.2 billion, while trade between the two countries peaked at $30 billion in 2011. Cabinet Secretary Pramono Anung said that the enforcement of People's Consultative Assembly Decision No. 26 of 1966 on the ban of communism must also respect press freedom and academic freedom. Therefore, he said, President Joko Widodo told security apparatuses not to overreact. According to him, directions from the President to Chief of the National Police and Commander of the Indonesian National Defense Forces are already clear and they understand their duties and authority. Pramono Anung added that things that are related to law enforcement must be respected, but the development in the society must not be responded with overreaction. In the meantime, Chief of the National Police General Badruddin Haiti said that measures taken by the apparatus so far is still under control. As for the sweeping of books that contain communism, he said that the police must not confiscate the books from bookstores, campuses, or printing offices. The Federation of International Football Association FIFA, during the 60th Congress in Mexico City on Friday, lifted the suspension on Indonesia's Football Association PSSI from international soccer competition. Head of Public Communication of the Ministry of Youth and Sport Affairs, Gatot S. Dewabroto, said that by all means, the government welcomes the decision and hopes that it can improve national soccer, especially in its organizational management, youth development program, and transparency. FIFA decision was taken after the government on Tuesday, May the 10th, lifted a decree that suspended the PSSI. FIFA banned the association in May last year after a long dispute between the government and the PSSI over which teams should be entered into the top domestic league. Previously, Indonesia sent head of Indonesia's Olympic Committee, Erick Thohir, and chair of ad hoc team for PSSI reformation, Agum Gumelar, to meet FIFA officials in Switzerland on April the 26th to discuss the turmoil in the National Soccer Federation. During the meeting, it was agreed that the government of Indonesia should leave a decree considered to constitute unacceptable interference in the Soccer Federation before FIFA lifted the suspension. This news broadcast is coming your way from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesia is one of the few countries to have imposed the harshest drug laws in the world. The Indonesian government has declared an all-out war against drug crimes and has imposed the severest punishment of death sentence against drug offenders. Recently, Attorney General H.M. Prasetyo hinted that execution of drug traffickers would resume once the office is through with completing statistics of death row inmates. He emphasized that the third wave of execution will be carried out in the near future but did not reveal the number of death row inmates on the list. He declined to disclose the names of death row inmates who will be facing the firing squad. The Attorney General pointed out that the decision on carrying out executions comes as an assertion of Indonesia's legal sovereignty despite the pros and cons highlighted by other countries. The executions are planned to be carried out at Indonesia's highest security prison, Nusa Kambangan in Cilacap, Central Jawa. The police have said they are ready for carrying out the execution. Its death row inmate faces 10 shooters. As many as 50 tour guides participated in an education and training that introduced Arabic culture, tourism, and language in Mataram, West Nusa Tenggara on Friday, May the 13th. The participants were former Indonesian workers in the Middle East and students of Islamic schools in Lombok. The training was conducted for the first time by Tourism Ministry as part of an effort to promote halal tourism. The halal tourism in West Nusa Tenggara won 2 awards in Abu Dhabi, the United Arab Emirates in October last year. The 2 awards were the world's best halal honeymoon destination and the world's best halal tourism destination. Tourism Minister Arif Yahya said in Jakarta that the awards has established Lombok as a world-class tourist destination for the Middle East. The West Nusa Tenggara Tourism and Culture Agency Muhammad Fauzal revealed that the halal tourism had increased the number of foreign tourists visiting the province by 30%. In 2016, the target of the number of the tourists visiting the province is set at 3 million people, both foreign and domestic ones. Last year, the figure reached more than 2 million tourists. Last item, Minister of Marine Affairs and Fisheries Susi Pujiastuti on Saturday delivered 3.5 billion rupiah worth of assistance to fishermen in Gorontalo. She handed a feed mill machine and raw feed worth 100 million rupiahs. Besides assistance for training personnel and gill net maintenance, the assistance was distributed among 30 fishermen in the area and is used to disseminate information about fishery among 55 fishermen. 50 masks and snorkeling packets were also delivered to the community for tourism awareness of whale sharks at Buto Barani Village, Kabila Bone District, Bone Bolango Regency. According to the minister, Gorontalo fishermen are lucky to have Tomini Bay, which is very beautiful. The sea is deep, but the waves are calm, and it enables fishermen to catch fish safely. Minister Susi also said Gorontalo is the best place with massive maritime potentials compared to other places she has visited. To end the news, here are the main points once again. President Joko Widodo begins working visit to South Korea. The State Palace bans sweeping of leftist book. FIFA lifts suspension on Indonesia. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, with news from across the country, which presents a variety of interesting information from across Indonesia in a week. The first news comes from the city of Palu, Central Sulawesi Province. Head of Marriage Section in the Regional Office of the Ministry of Religious Affairs in Central Sulawesi, Sofyan Arsyad, on Tuesday said he had followed up a memorandum of understanding between the Minister of Religious Affairs and Minister of Environment and Forestry to ask anyone who want to be married at the office to plant 5 trees. In this program, the bride and groom are required to plant 5 trees after registering in the Office of Religious Affairs. They not only have an obligation to plant but also charged with the responsibility to care for the tree plant seeds and planting sites provided by the Center for Watershed Management and the Religious Affairs Office. Types of plants that will be used are woody plants, sap seed skins, and fruit-bearing plants of local superior trees. Now these trees are seedling in nurseries. The second story comes from the province of Lampung. A baby Sumatran rhino, or its Latin name, Diceroninus sumatrensis females, was born in Sumatra Rhino Sanctuary, Wake Kambas National Park in Lampung on Thursday, May the 12th. The baby rhino was born to Andalas, a male rhino who was 15 years old, and Ratu, a 15-year-old female rhino occupant of the sanctuary. In Wake Kambas National Park, Executive Director of Yayasan Badak Indonesia or Indonesian Rhino Foundation, Widodo S. Ramono, said that the rhino's birth is the second birth in Indonesia after Andatu, the first rhino calf born in 2012 from the same parents. This is an important event since Sumatra's rhinos are on the brink of extinction. Their total number has declined sharply in recent decades. Currently, fewer than 100 rhinos left in the world, located in the forest in Sumatra and a few in Kalimantan. The latest news comes from Surabaya, East Jawa Province. Lecturer of Faculty of Agriculture, Food Technology Studies Program, University Dr. Sutomo or Unitomo in Surabaya, Fajar Kurnia Hartati, made donuts from banana peels that contain calcium, protein, and high in carbohydrates. Antara News Agency reported on Thursday that, according to Fajar, banana peels can be a substitute or reduce the wet flour as the main raw materials of donuts, about 20%. He said the banana skin types used is kamplong bananas, often used by fried banana sellers because it can affect the colors to be more yellow. It is the peel waste from the sellers of fried banana is used by him as food ingredients. He reveals the donut making process, which is by cleaning the skin first and then it is boiled and sliced thinly before being made into porridge. Responding to the innovation, Chairman of Unitomo Institute Research Unit, Sri Utami Adi, said banana skin donuts research has contributed in the list of Unitomo faculty research awarded grants from the Ministry of Research and Technology and Higher Education. That was news from Indonesia. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. Let's begin with 1988, Soviet War in Afghanistan. After more than 8 years of fighting, the Soviet Army begins to withdraw 115,000 troops from Afghanistan. The Soviet-Afghan War lasted over 9 years, from December 1979 to February 1989. Insurgent groups, or the Mujahideen, fought against the Soviet Army and allied Afghan forces. Between 850,000 until 1.5 million civilians were killed and millions of Afghans fled the country as refugees, mostly to Pakistan and Iran. Prior to the arrival of Soviet troops, the pro-Soviet Nur Muhammad Taraki government took power in 1978 coup and initiated a series of radical modernization reforms throughout the country. By April 1979, large parts of the country were in open rebellion, and by December, the government had lost control of territory outside of the cities. In response to Afghan government requests, the Soviet government under leader Leonid Brezhnev first sent covert troops to advise and support the Afghan government, but on December 24, 1979, began the first deployment of the 40th Army. Arriving in the capital Kabul, they staged a coup, killing the Afghan president and installing a rival Afghan socialist Babrak Karmal. In January 1980, foreign ministers from 34 nations of the Islamic Conference adopted a resolution demanding the immediate, urgent, and unconditional withdrawal of Soviet troops from Afghanistan, while the UN General Assembly passed a resolution protesting the Soviet intervention. By the mid 1987, the Soviet Union, now under reformist leader Mikhail Gorbachev, announced it would start withdrawing its forces. The final troop withdrawal started on May 15, 1988 and ended on February 15, 1989. Next now is from May 15, 1940. Richard and Morris McDonald opened the first McDonald's restaurant in San Bernardino, California, United States. Richard the Dick McDonald and his brother Morris Mac McDonald are the pioneers of prepared foods from the United States. They founded the first McDonald's restaurant in 1940 in San Bernardino. In 1954, Raymond Albert Kroc, a milk peddler kneading machine, began to cooperate with the McDonald brothers, and within a few years, to change their original small restaurant into a large one under the McDonald's Corporation. Last item is from May 14, 1948. Egypt, Jordan, Lebanon, Syria, Iraq, and Saudi Arabia attack Israel triggered the first war in the Arab-Israeli conflict. Israel was proclaimed on May 14, 1948, and a day later directly attacked by soldiers from Jordan, Lebanon, Syria, Egypt, Iran, and the Arab countries. Under the leadership of David Ben Gurion, the troops from Jordan, Egypt, Syria, Iraq, Lebanon, and Saudi Arabia went to Palestine to occupy areas claimed as territory state of Israel. There are about 45,000 troops deployed by the Arab countries at that time. First Arab-Israeli war ended in defeat for the Arab countries. This war caused many of the Palestinians displaced from border of Israel. But on the other hand, there are many Jews who were expelled from the other Arab countries. Last item is from America, and that is from May 15, 1972. George Wallace, governor of Alabama, who was elected four times, was shot in an assassination attempt while campaigning for the presidency. George Wallace is a U.S. politician and governor of Alabama for four periods. He was known for opposing racial integration. In 1972, he became a candidate for president of the United States. In a poll about the presidential candidates at that time, his popularity was increasing rapidly. But that all changed on May 15 in Laurel, Maryland. Arthur Brenner managed to shoot five bullets into the body of Wallace. One bullet hit the spine that caused Wallace paralyzed for life. Bremer later revealed he shot Wallace purely to achieve fame. He concedes that such action was inspired by a 1976 movie Taxi Driver. Well, that was Today in History. Over Voice of Indonesian Jakarta, I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
The Week Spotlight presents Top Issue of the Week.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with highlights of this week. In this edition, it's on Indonesia's Get European Legal Forest Timber Certification. Indonesia's success in getting an agreement on legal wood product export to European Union has increased Indonesia's diplomacy. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi, in a joint press conference with four ministers, the Minister of Environment and Forestry, the Minister of Foreign Affairs, the Minister of Trade and the Minister of Industry, related to licensed forest law enforcement governments and trade, or FLEGT, between Indonesia and the European Union in the Ministry of Environment and Forestry in Jakarta on Thursday, said that Indonesia is the first country to get the full confidence of European countries. Indonesia, she said, has a great opportunity to dominate wood markets for wood products. The agreement was obtained during a meeting of President Joko Widodo and European Commission President Jean-Claude Juncker in Brussels, Belgium last April. Indonesia is now in the final stages of getting a FLEGT license. Next week, May the 18th, in Brussels, the meeting of a joint implementation committee between Indonesia and the European Union Commission will take place. It was also to determine the most appropriate day to apply Indonesia European Union FLEGT. Minister Retno Marsudi said if FLEGT comes into force in the following months, Indonesia will become the first country in the world that have this license, which means that Indonesian forest timber products environmentally are friendly and sustainable. Meanwhile, Minister of Environment and Forestry Siti Nurbaya explained the main points of the agreement with the European Union is on the timber regulatory verification system that facilitate timber trade Indonesia to the European Union countries. In fact, exporters can take advantage of the system to sell timber to other developed countries such as the US and Japan. On the same occasion, Minister of Commerce Thomas Lembong explains that the way to make timber legality verification system be obtained along with the FLEGT had been through a winding road. The cooperation had been threatened not to continue because of the exception of furniture from the obligation to follow the timber legality verification system. But then he restored the mechanism through Trade Minister regulation. It is estimated that with the enactment of the timber legality verification system, furniture and wood products export to the European Union will increase. That's because Indonesian products can get into Europe without going through inspection, which means there is no inspection fee and will expedite delivery and keep costs down. Meanwhile, Minister of Industry Saleh Husin is optimistic that the synergy of the four ministries can facilitate timber industry, especially the small and medium enterprises, to get the timber legality verification system before the FLEGT officially enacted. By doing so, Indonesia can better manage wood and furniture industry in a sustainable condition. That was highlights of this week. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Time now for us to bring you news in brief. In a bid to boost economic ties between Indonesia and South Korea, President Joko Widodo on Sunday left for Seoul, South Korea, for a state visit until May the 18th. Cabinet Secretary Pramono Anung said that the enforcement of People's Consultative Assembly decision on the ban of communism must also respect press freedom and academic freedom. The Federation of International Football Association, FIFA, during the 66th Congress in Mexico City on Friday lifted the suspension on Indonesia's Football Association from international soccer competition. Indonesia is one of the few countries to have imposed the harshest drug laws in the world. As many as 50 tour guides participated in an education and training that introduced Arabic culture, tourism, and language in Mataram, West Nusa Tenggara on Friday. Minister of Marine Affairs and Fisheries Susi Pujiastuti delivered 3.5 billion rupiahs worth of assistance to fishermen in Gorontalo. That was the end of the news in brief over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11785 kHz, and 15150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here's our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Indonesian Wonder, a segment which introduces Indonesia's tourism potentials, including tourist destinations, art and culture, also culinary. Today I'll take you to Bali province to have a look at Gunung Kawi Temple or Pura Gunung Kawi in Ubud. Besides via shortwave, you can also listen to this program via live streaming at www.voi.co.id. Gunung Kawi is one of the cultural heritages and tourist attractions in Bali. In this complex, there are 10 temples which were built in the 11th century and located by Pakerisan River, Tampak Siring, Gianyar, Bali. The temples were carved into the rock at a height of 7 meters. Formerly, these temples were used to worship the King Udayana. Here there are three groups of temples, namely a group of five and four temples and one temple. Regarding the name of Gunung Kawi, it is not certain the meaning of the name, except it is said Kawi means calf. So it was concluded that the meaning of Gunung Kawi, which in Bahasa Indonesia actually, or in English actually means Kawi Mountain, is the result of carvings or sculptures located on the higher cliffs. Other than that, as a tourist attraction on the island of Bali, Pura Gunung Kawi also has an ancient history. It was discovered in 1910. Located in a groove, Gunung Kawi Temple Complex is divided into two, which is split by Pakrisan River flow. To arrive at Pura Gunung Kawi, you must go down the stairs numbering 320. This is because the location of the temple is in the river valley. And on the way to the temple, you will see the beautiful scenery, so once you get in the river valley, you will see the carved gunung or mountain Kawi with historical value. After you reach the end of the stairs, you'll be treated to views of the magnificent temple. If you go to the left, you will see rows of Gunung Kawi historic temples. Meanwhile, if you look across, then you will see similar temples as those on the left. The temple is located just across Pakrisan River. Most travelers would unwind and take rest on Pakrisan River bank because the water is cool and the air is fresh. Therefore, you may not litter there. The 320 stairs heading to Pura Gunung Kawi are made of rocks framed by a stone wall. The west side of the temple complex is also equipped with a pool and fountain. Seeing this temple complex, you'll be amazed by the sight of rock walls carved neatly and form curved spaces in which there is a temple. The temples are deliberately made in the niche to protect it from the threat of erosion. To get to Pura Gunung Kawi, you need to travel a distance of approximately 40 kilometers from Denpasar City, which is the capital of Bali province. While from the city of Gianyar, the distance is approximately 21 kilometers. You had better use your own vehicle or rent one, because in the area you will have difficulty finding public transportation. You don't need to fear getting lost if you use your own vehicle, because along the way there are directions to Pura Gunung Kawi. You can also use the services of a rental car with a driver, or you can also contact a travel agent to buy a package tour that leads to Pura Gunung Kawi. Well, that was Indonesian Wonder Today, featuring Gunung Kawi Temple in Ubud, Bali Province.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is a reward service Voice of Indonesia with Miscellany, a regular segment featuring various aspects of Indonesia, including arts and culture, customs and traditions, technology and environment, and even lifestyle. Today's edition will be discussing Karst Mangkulihat Sangkurilang be submitted to UNESCO. Besides via shortwave, you can also listen to this program through www.voi.co.id. Indonesia has many natural resources, one of which is Karst Mangkulihat Sangkurilang in East Kutai, East Kalimantan. Local authorities encourage Karst to become one of the nominees in Natural and Cultural World Heritage that will be established by UNESCO. Karst is a form of the Earth's surface that is generally characterized by the close depression. The area is formed mainly by the dissolution of limestone rocks. Karst typically has characteristic, among others, the area is in the form of hollows, small hills, There are rivers that appear on the surface, lost and disconnected into the soil, and rivers below the soil surface. The phenomenon of the karst area is unique, found in the Earth's surface. In geomorphological, karst area is predominantly rocky carbonate that is easily damaged. The base rock is soluble, therefore it is easy to form underground caverns of cracks and crevices. East Kalimantan Governor Awang Ishak Farouk recently said that the establishment of this cultural heritage aims to attract tourists to visit the Sangkulirang. He is very proud because of the cultural heritage of Kars Mangkulihat Sangkulirang will be known in the world community. To speed up the UNESCO's decision, Awang Farouk said he will soon form a working committee which comes from various backgrounds, such as members of the government and environmental agencies. And the result will be submitted to the Ministry of Education and Cultural of the Republic of Indonesia. East Kalimantan Provincial Government has issued a Governor Regulation No. 67 of 2012 on the protection and management of Kars Sangkulirang Mangkulihat ecosystem. The regulation set policies for the protection and management of Kars ecosystem and the development of regional management model that accommodates the local wisdom of local communities. With the regulation, it is expected to provide protection to the region defined as the Kars landscape. The region serves as a protected area geology and regional indicative distribution of limestone that can be utilized after fulfilling the prescribed criteria. Kars Mangkulihat Sangkulirang is indeed still beautiful and unspoiled, so it is likely to be one of the main national and even international geotourism. Geographically, it looks like limestone mountains covered with green jungle. This area has lots of past human traces that found in the walls of the cave, either in the form of a human hand mural, and symbols such as circles and arrows. Of all the relics found in the Kars Mangkulihat, it turns out that about 3,500 years ago, a prehistoric community has existed and lived in caves. In addition to paintings on the walls of the cave, there was also found supplies of human life. This is the end of Miscellany for today. We'll meet again tomorrow with another interesting topic. Goodbye!
We'll meet again tomorrow with another Miscellany on Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Listener's Mailbag, a weekly segment in which your letters and emails are acknowledged. In this segment, we'll also play some Indonesian music. Well, we would like to thank you, our dear listeners, wherever you are, who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. Now, let's start answering your letters and emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by Azam Ali Somro in Pakistan. He was listening to our broadcast in English program at 17 to 18 UTC. In his email, Mr. Azam Ali Somro said that he really enjoyed the program. Hello, Mr. Azam Ali Somro. Thank you for your attention and compliment on our broadcast. We know that you have sent the answer of Wonderful Indonesia Quiz, We have announced the winners, but unfortunately, you are not one of the lucky winners. We hope you are not disappointed because this year, RA Reward Service will hold Wonderful Indonesia Quiz twice. Perhaps on other occasion, we will be the winners. So keep listening to our broadcast every day so you will not miss our programs and events. Well, Mr. Azam Ali Somro, we are looking forward to receiving your next email, certainly with your reception report on our broadcast. Thank you. And listener, before we read another email, we'll play a beautiful song. This song is also for our regular listeners wherever you are. Enjoy the song.
Tak jumpa sehari katanya.
listener, now we will replay an email from Riaz Ahmad Khan, also in Pakistan. He sent his email dated May 9, 2016. As usual, his reception report is very detailed. In his email, he wrote that he really enjoys one of our segments, Indonesian Wonder, which is his favorite segment. He never misses this segment because according to Mr. Riaz Ahmad Khan, it is very interesting and comprehensive report about tourism attraction places. Hello, Mr. Riaz Ahmad Khan. Thank you very much for your compliment on our program. Congratulations because you are chosen as one of the winners of Wonderful Indonesia Quiz. You will witness how beautiful our country is by your own eyes. Not only tourism attraction of Indonesia, you can also meet and greet with VOI's crews. Okay, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, we will play a beautiful song just for you. Enjoy the song.
Terima kasih.
You are still listening to Listener's Mailbag broadcast every Sunday. Now, we continue to replay a comment from S.B. Sharma. He was listening to our radio in English program through frequency of 9525 kHz at 13 to 14 UTC, and the SINPO was 43443. Hello, Mr. Sharma. Thank you for your email and attention on our broadcast. For your complaint, we will deliver it to technical division. Hopefully for the next time, it will not happen again. And we suggest you to tune our broadcast through our website www.voi.co.id. And if you miss our segment, you can find it through the website. Okay, Mr. Sharma, wherever you are, we are waiting for your next email and also your reception report on our broadcast. Listeners who are listening to our radio now, we will play a beautiful song special for you. Let's check it out.
Thank you.
Well, listener, actually we have received many emails, but unfortunately we have to sign off now. We want to say thank you for listeners who have liked and visited our official Facebook fan page. Thank you for visiting our Facebook fan page and for being our regular listeners. Well, listener, we appreciate your reception reports on our broadcast. Please send your letters to Voice of Indonesia English Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat No. 4 and 5, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. I'll repeat again, Voice of Indonesia English Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat No. 4 and 5, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. Or you can send your email to info@voi.co.id, info@voi.co.id, or to english@voi.co.id, english@voi.co.id. Don't forget to visit and like our fan page on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia and The Voice of Indonesia, or follow our Twitter at VOI Indonesia. You can also join our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. Well, listener, to conclude our segment, we will play another Indonesian beautiful song. I'm Alika, thank you for listening, and we will meet again next week in Listener's Mailbag.
Mat Bobby, aku bersumpah sampai oh.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.